And we're looking for a blessing. We just finished a series called Limitless. And if you didn't get a chance to see all those different messages, they're up on the web. Listen, my outlines are up there. I know I talk fast, so all the references are up there. They're free. Just listen, whatever you use them for, that's fine. And but I want to talk to you today about stewardship. I want to talk to you about God, really. I want to talk to you about the Lord. He said, well, duh, we're in church. Yeah. But whenever the S word gets brought up, that word stewardship, everybody just kind of grabs their wallet and goes, oh my gosh. Do you understand that you are a child of God? Amen. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, you're not the neighbor kid. You know what I'm talking about. Every neighborhood had that one kid who was always kind of unsupervised and always come over to the house, knock on the door and go, can I have a snack? You know what I'm saying? And Miss Mix always kept those long plastic sleeve popsicles. So the neighbor kids were always coming over going, Levi said I could have a snack. You know, and Levi's at school. You know what I mean? But still, you know what? They're like, and sometimes we as Christians forget we're not the neighbor kid. We are a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? Of God the Father. Joint heirs with Jesus. You understand that?
Amen.
Now, we forget it so many times. It says in John chapter 1, to them that believe, he gave them power to become the sons of God. Sons and daughters. You are not a slave to God. You understand that? That's a different religion. You're not the neighbor kid who's begging for a morsel. You're a son or a daughter of your heavenly Father if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That is a standing we sometimes forget. We forget that we didn't get into this by working our way to heaven. You cannot work your way to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us, Titus 3:5 says. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 tells us it's grace. It's me getting something I couldn't earn as a gift. And now I am a son of God. I am a child of the living God. I'm a child of the only God there is. In John chapter 1, it says, but as many as received him. If you've received Jesus Christ, your Savior, say amen.
Amen.
Can you remember when it happened?
Yes.
Can you testify about it and say, yeah, I may not know the date, but I was awake and aware. I was a sinner. I knew if I died right now, I'd go to hell. And I realized that Jesus died for me. And I called upon him and I trusted him. And now I am, look what it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I am now a son of God. You are now a son or a daughter of God.
Amen.
Okay, only me, Bruce, and Miss Mix understands that, evidently. I need you to wrap your head around this. You are a son or a daughter of the living God, the only God there is. The only God that can save, and the only God who has decided in advance to keep you. Oh yeah, God knows what you're like and decided to save you and keep you. I mean, let's be honest. If you were God for a day, would you keep you, let alone save you? No. No, it'd be like, all right, I'm done. If you ever do that to your kids, you ever do that? You're like, okay, that's it. Just go to bed. Just, oh man. Right? You ever do that? Okay, I'm done. You know, kind of like the reset button from Staples. You know, you just kind of, I just want to go, ah, we're done. I'm tapping out. My wife has done that. I've walked into the door and she's going, I'm out. I'm tapping out. You know? tag team, you're it, buddy. If you can pin them, we get the title. You know, go right ahead. Just, huh? Aren't you glad that God doesn't tap out? Aren't you glad that God doesn't tag out? Aren't you glad that God doesn't go, okay, that's it, I'm done. Jesus said, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. John chapter 6 and verse 37. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 28 and 29, all that the Father giveth me are in my hand, and no man can pluck them out. And all that are mine are in the, I and the Father are one. Why? Because they're all in the Father's hand. And no man, that includes you, can pluck yourself out. You understand that? You are a child of God. I want you to say it with me now as a church family. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I'm it. I know that's kind of crazy. To think that he would love a knucklehead like me. I still think. I was asking in our fall series called You Asked For It, what's the greatest miracle you ever saw, Pastor Meg? The greatest miracle I ever saw was my salvation. It's still the greatest miracle. And that's why, yeah, some of these songs, they move me to tears. Why? Because it reminds me of just how much my Father loves me. So many Christians live in the bondage of I have to do, I have to earn, I have to achieve. We had a great time in Sunday school today in the couples class and the home builders class, where Miss Yamada said, you know, it's not like a video game where we have to level up and then God will love us. No, you already are the object of his favor. You're already the recipient of his love. He can't love you any more than he already does. He loves you with an all-consuming, perfect love that never waxes or wanes. You understand? He loves you because you're a child of God. Amen. Say it with me. I am a child of God. Say it. Come on now. Turn to the person next to you and says, I'm a child of God. Come on now. Come on now. All right, all right, all right, all right. Good, good, good. Why? Because it says in Psalm 100, bless his name. Be thankful unto the Lord and bless his name, verse 4 says. And then verse 5 says, why? Because the Lord is good. Man, he's good. I've already preached this. I won't go back and retract that ground from Wednesday night. But it's good. That's a good message. You ought to see it. Anyhow, what was I talking about? Oh, Mrs. Mix and I, we're from entrepreneurial families. For those of you who don't know what that means, my parents were small business owners. Her parents were small business owners. And so we aren't the neighbor kid. We're actually in the family. But that means we work the family business. My dad was a mechanic and a body man. He did body work, and so that means every day when I got home from school, I had to wipe the tools off and put them away and put cat litter over the oil drippings. If you got oil, okay, side note, public service announcement. If you got an oil drip down on your driveway or in your garage, throw some kitty litter on it. It'll soak it right up and take it away. That's just letting you know. See all the cool stuff you learn coming to church? Huh? Use kitty litter. It'll take it up. That was my job. I worked the family business. Her family was into furniture. They refinished furniture and they built furniture and she worked the family business. You and I are not the neighbor kid. You and I are children of the living God. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, whether you like it or not, you're in the family business. Yeah, it's not just our older brother Jesus who came to seek and to save that. Well, you understand, he has said, just as the Father sent me, now I send you. We are in the family business. Everything about our Father and his kingdom is now a matter of trust placed upon his children. You are a child of God. You are a son or daughter, because there's only two kinds. You are the son or daughter of the only God there is. The only God there is. The rest are demons or devils passing themselves off. And you understand, you're in the family business. This is all introduction, but it's good preaching though, ain't it? I'm telling you. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 2. Hey, everybody, get you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, use your phone. It's all right. You can use the electronics in church. We worship the God who wrote it, not the ink and the paper. But I love paper. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 2. Moreover, well, let's just read it as a family. Did everybody find 1 Corinthians 4:2? Let's read it together. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, a steward or stewardship is not a word that you use a lot, but it means someone who manages the resources and the affairs for the benefit of the owner of those resources. A steward is a person who manages the affairs or the resources of someone else's stuff for the benefit of that other person. We are the stewards of the living God. We are the steward. That's what stewardship is. Now, I need you to understand, why is this a big deal? Because you're not the neighbor kid. If you know the Lord is your Savior, say amen. Amen. Then you're not the neighbor kid. You're his. You know, and we were singing that, It said something, it said, and Jesus is mine. You know, we think to ourselves, you know, we belong to God, yes, but he also belongs to me. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a Savior. Jesus is mine. I am his and he is mine. I am in a relationship with the living God, born there by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are blood kin to God. Why? Because you were born into that relationship. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. You must be born again. What is he talking about? You're talking about physical birth because my daddy was a Christian or my mama was a Christian. No, God has no grandchildren. Doesn't matter if your mother's cousin's uncle, brother's butcher's best friend was a Christian. Doesn't matter. God's talking to you. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's a free gift. It's not about what you do. It's about what's already been done for you. I'm not going to talk to Christians right now. You folks know the Lord is your Savior. Say amen. Amen. You're a child of God. And because you're a child of God, you're not the neighbor kid. You're not some stranger. You are his and he is yours. You're a member of the family. Welcome to the family business. Welcome to the family business. Now, as a steward, again, is someone who manages the affairs of someone else for that person's benefit. Now, our God is generous. I don't know if you realize that or not. Some people have a completely messed up view of God. God is generous. You know, God has already proven his love to us. When I read you that verse in Psalm 100 and verse 5, to bless his name, why? Because the Lord is good. He is generous to us. He has already proven his love to us in the fact that he gave us Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 and verse 16, every child in this church knows it. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Every child downstairs learning that verse. Why? Because God has already proven his generosity, his love. He didn't have to, by the way. But because he loved us. You see that word there in John 3:16? The word so. See that? It's kind of insignificant. It's only got two letters. It's not insignificant. It tells you the extent and the depth of God's love. God's love is to such an extent that he would love rotten sinners like me. Yeah. That's pretty big. Bigger than I can grasp. God's so loved. God's already proven his generosity. He's already proven his goodness to us. And the fact that he gave us everlasting life. What does it say in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that cool? God has already proven his love for you. He is so generous. He has given us forgiveness and everlasting life. He's also given us the Holy Spirit. The moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, God himself, the Holy Spirit, took up residence inside you. The Bible says, it says, but when the Comforter is come, this is Jesus speaking in John 15, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. You go back a couple of pages to John 14, and he says, I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. God loves you. You are not the neighbor kid who he tolerates. See, that's how we think of it, right? We look in the mirror, we don't like what we see, so we figure God must tolerate us. No. No, your family. There's already a seat in heaven with your name on it. Already at the master's table, you are a son or a daughter of God. If you've trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, if you've returned from your sin, that's called repentance, to realize you're a sinner and can't get to heaven by being good, and you repent, you turn to God, admit it, say, God, I'm sorry, I realize I'm a sinner, I can't get to heaven by being good. God, I've tried everything else. God, I know you are the one who died and rose for me. Save me. It's not hard. Well, it's hard because our pride gets in the way, that's for sure. But at that moment, when the Holy Spirit comes inside you because you trusted Christ as your Savior, you went from being an outsider to family. Amen. To family. So why am I making this a big deal? Because, well, welcome to the family business. You are now residing in his kingdom. Why didn't God just take you to heaven? You ever ask yourself that? We're heaven bound, right? Place where nobody's old, nobody's sick, nobody dies. Where it's the fullness of joy and in his presence his pleasures evermore. Why didn't God just save us and take us to heaven? Yeah. See, a lot of times as children, how many were raised in a home of a small business? How many of you had to work the family business or the family farm? Huh? Anybody? Okay. Sometimes we kind of resent it, right? Right? We'd rather go play ball or we'd rather go run with our neighbors who had no responsibilities. You know what I'm saying? But we're part of something bigger than ourselves. We're part of a family. And the needs of the family. I always told my kids, listen to me, boy, blood is thicker than water. Don't you side with your friends over the family. Never side with your friends over the family. I said, but why? Because blood's thicker than water. Well, you're a child of the living God. And you're part of the family business. You are now in the kingdom. Do you understand? See, the Bible says God owns everything. I don't know if you're aware of that. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein, and they that dwell therein. What? He owns it all. Look at that verse. The world and they that dwell therein. We all belong to God by right of creation. It says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In John chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He owns everything. He is the owner of the dirt you walk on, of the air you breathe, of the water you drink, of everything. He owns it. Think about that for a second. It's his. It says in Colossians 1:16, if you're taking notes, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, look what the Bible reads. For by him, that's by Jesus, get your pronouns right, for by Jesus were all things created, that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible. Well, you know what? Let's read it together. Listen, you get so much more out of it when you read it and say it. So here we go. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities. And most of you stop listening, because the best part of the verse is what comes next. Look at that next phrase. All things were created by him and for him. Why? What? You mean he had all this in mind? Yeah. Well, why is it like that? Because he wanted it. It's for him. But I thought the world revolved around me. No. No, my friends, I know I make light of it, but the truth is God made everything for himself. That means he made you. Because since you were made in the image of God, you have free will. And you have the ability to love him back. You know, you think it's hard getting your grandparents a Christmas gift? Imagine trying to give something to God. Right? I mean, he has everything. The Bible says that every soul is his, Ezekiel 18:4, that everything around us is his. I mean, he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. He says the silver and the gold, they're all mine. Everything. What do you think God wants? He don't want your stuff. He really doesn't. He don't want your stuff. He don't need your stuff. But you have the one thing only you can give him. And that is your heart. He gave you the ability to say no, so that when you say yes, it's real. Welcome. Welcome to the family. And everything we've received, everything, is a gift from God. Look at James chapter 1. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter number 1 and verse number 17. James 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from Amazon. No? Okay, no, that's not what that says. Okay, I wasn't sure if you got the new and improved. I don't know. Is a gift from above. and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, the Bible says that God's blessings maketh us rich, but he addeth no sorrow to it. The things God gives you doesn't add sorrow to your life. They're a blessing. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. Cometh down from the Father. The air you breathe, that's a gift from God. The ground you walk on, the house you live in, the car you live in. You realize 90% of the world would trade with you. Maybe it's not 90%. Well, what are we, 330 million and there's 8 billion people? I don't do the math. Who's got the math? Hey, it doesn't matter. All those other folks would probably go, yeah, I'd love to come to America and live at your house and drive your... They all want to drive my Ford. They all do. We had a meeting. We took a poll. They all want to borrow my Expedition. But it's true. They would trade when the bulk of the world just wants a handful of rice. We live in the greatest country in the world. Don't ever stop for a minute and think to yourself. You ever stop for a minute and think to yourself, it's a gift? I'm not here to get it political, but I'm just going to tell you the truth about history. Benjamin Franklin was asked when he came out of the Continental Congress, did we get a constitution? He said, yeah, well, you have a republic now. He said, but can you keep it? Can you keep it? Welcome to the family, brothers and sisters. The minute you trusted Jesus as your Savior and you became a son or a daughter of God, you entered the family business, but it wasn't just so you could work and slave your life away. It was because you're going to joint heir with Jesus. You're joint heirs with Jesus. You're inheriting everything that God has. God has held nothing back from you. It's yours. He owns the wealth. He owns everything, and everything is a gift. He owns it all. He doesn't want your stuff. But you and I are the stewards of God's kingdom. We're the stewards of the gospel. We're the stewards of our time, talent, resources. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18 that thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. You don't understand. I'm a self-made man. You know, I paid for that house and I'm paid for that. Because God gave you the ability to get out of bed. There's folks who can't. There's folks who can't make a living. There are folks who are hurting. There are folks who don't. And for some reason, God has chosen to gift you with the ability to think and to work. And God provides an income for your family through all of that. Amen. Yep. Welcome to the family. You understand this is all from God's hand to you going here. I love you. Amen. I want what's best for you. There's a reason why God doesn't give me access to $1 billion. Why don't you have $1 billion? Well, God's just not fair. No, it'd ruin you. It'd ruin you. It'd ruin me. It'd ruin me. That's why God don't do it. But I promised him, if he ever gives me $1 million, I will not climb Mount Everest. I promised him. There's like two dozen millionaires face down in the ice up there. I said, God, I won't do it. I promise. We are just managers of God's property. That's it. We are the one who's been entrusted. And God expects a return on our investment. So let me ask you a question. I think I skipped past something I wanted to talk about, so give me just a second. Y'all talk amongst yourselves. Seriously, as God's steward, he wants a return on his investment. Now, turn over to Luke chapter 12. Here it is. I found it. Luke chapter 12. I want you to see it. God talks about us as his steward. And just like in the story here in Luke 12 and verse number 35, it says, let your lights be girded about, and or your loins girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he shall return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, shall come forth to serve. What does that mean? God says, because of their loyalty, they were faithful. They were waiting for me to come home. They were ready to do their job. They were active and watching. Would you consider yourself a loyal servant of the Lord? Many of you in here have a security clearance. I have been interviewed for as a character reference for other people's clearance. And every single time, it's probably been about 9 or 10 times, every single time they ask me, do you consider that person loyal to the United States of America? Do you consider that person someone whose loyalty was without question? Do you feel that there might be something in their life that would lead them to be disloyal to America and its interests? See, when you get a security clearance, it is a certification of your loyalty to this nation. Would you be granted a security clearance of heaven? Can God, in all of his infinite wisdom and knowledge, certify your loyalty as a kingdom citizen? Well, he would do that if we were faithful. It says here in Luke chapter number 12 and verse 42, and the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. See, you're part of the family business. It's not about money. It's about managing everything that God has entrusted to your care for his benefit and his kingdom and his name. We're responsible to be faithful. Are you a faithful steward of God's assets? I mean, you walk on his ground, you breathe his air, you drink his water, you eat his food, you manage the money he gives you and the things he gives you. That car doesn't belong to you, it belongs to the Lord. That house doesn't belong to you. Those kids don't belong to you, they belong to the Lord. They're only on loan. And our job is to train them and send them back to him as servants, that they'll become Christ, you know, become children of God by trusting Christ, and will serve him as a steward like you and I serve him as a steward. Now look here in verse 45 of Luke 12. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants to eat and drink and be drunken, that Lord of the servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he's not aware. You know, there are certain things that'll lose you your security clearance, right? There are certain stupid things you can do that will cost you your, and about every year you hear of somebody taking their own life because they lost their security clearance. It's that big of an earth-shattering event to their career. So let me ask you a question. What made this guy unfaithful? His disloyalty. He chose. I mean, what would cost you your security clearance? Using government stuff like it's your own? Would that cost you your clearance? How about giving away government stuff to our national enemy? Okay, now we're starting to touch where you live. Okay, all right. What about leading others to do the same? Okay, I think you can make the parallel here without a big stretch. Do you understand where I'm taking this? When you use God's stuff like it's yours, and you don't have any regard to the fact that he owns it, would heaven revoke your security clearance? If you gave what belonged to God to the devil, his archenemy, hello, would heaven revoke your security clearance?
That's right.
Come on now. See, we want to think that somehow you and I, because we're Christians, we don't have any expectation upon us by the Lord. You're in the family business, brothers and sisters. You will stand before him like we remember when mom and dad left you alone at home for the first time? What condition was the house in when they got back? How many of the to-do lists did you get checked off? Well, so-and-so stopped by. And we thought we'd cook a pizza. And then we got distracted by what was on the phone. And then we heard the smoke alarm. And then the neighbors called the fire department. And is that the... You see what I'm saying? It's not a stretch to imagine... You're a child of God, and you've been made responsible for the assets the Lord has placed into your hands, and now he expects a return on investment, and he says, the unfaithful will treat it like it's theirs, and will abuse people around them and not care. But there's a payday coming someday. There is a final review coming someday. There is a review day when God will stand us before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will either be rewarded for that which we've done, or we won't get rewards for the things we've done for ourselves. But the opportunity is here now. We're responsible. We're in the family business. The faithful steward, God gave you what you could handle. The Bible, for sake of time, the Bible says that he gave one steward, that he gave three guys one talent. And one guy traded and turned one into five. And another guy turned one into two. What was ironic is the guy who made five and the guy who made two got the same reward. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Come thou into the joy of the Lord. It's the same response. It's not about what how great a performer you are. It's about, were you faithful? Were you loyal in your heart? Look, I make mistakes. I'll tell you the truth. I wouldn't have bet on me if I was the Lord. Would you? I wouldn't have. But the Lord chose. And now you and I. You know what I mean by chose? That means he chose to send his son that all humanity, not the ones who get saved, all of them have the opportunity to get saved. Amen. God died for all. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You understand? So if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you're trusting in a ritual rite or a ceremony to get you to heaven, you need to realize there's nothing you can do to earn heaven. There's nothing you can do to satisfy heaven. It's what's been done by Jesus already. And once you trust Christ as your Savior, you are now a child of God with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities every other child of God has. Nobody's any smarter or better at being a child of God than you can be. Do you understand? We're all equal in God's eyes. The question is, will we be faithful? Well, what are some of the things we're supposed to be accountable for? Well, in the coming weeks, I'm going to let you know what God is looking for. What is it? What kind of return on God's investment? We're going to talk about our time and how we spend it. We're going to talk about our talents and abilities that God is in gift, has ingratiated with us. That's the grace of God enabling us. I've talked to you about limitless grace. God has given you the ability to do the things he's commanded you to do. We're going to talk about our treasure. And we're going to talk about our testimony. These are the things we are responsible because God gave them to us, and now we are to manage them for his kingdom's expansion, the exaltation of his name, and the perfection of his will. Amen. That's a steward. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family business. Put on an apron and get busy. That's what my dad used to say. So I took the Ten Commandments, which were fun, and I thought, well, how would I apply this to stewardship? I can only get nine. I can only get nine out of the ten. Number one, thou shalt not make money a god before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images regarding dimes, dollars, nickels, quarters, or stocks and bonds, or bow yourself down to them. Number three, thou shalt not take the gifts of the Lord thy God in vain by failing to recognize him as the owner and thyself as the steward. Number four, remember the tithe and keep it holy. Number five, honor the Lord with thy tithes and offerings, that thy stewardship be faithful in the life which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill your spirituality with covetousness. Thou shalt not commit the sin of avarice or greed. Thou shalt not bear false witness and false position toward thy church by failing to support it. Thou shalt not covet the Lord's day or anything that belongs to the Lord for thy own purposes. See, I couldn't get all ten, but it's fun. We are children. We are not slaves. We are sons and daughters. We are not the neighbor kid. We are in the family, not just in the community. We are related by blood, not just in name only. You're his, and he is yours. Welcome to the family. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Everybody has the ability to do something that expands the Lord's kingdom. Everybody has something that God wants them to do to perfect his will. Everybody has something that God wants them to do as part of his kingdom to exalt his name. Won't you take a moment? I'm going to pray here. Every head bowed, every head closed. Not what's going on around you. It's what's going on inside you. Are you His? Let's start there. Are you His? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you God's child? Are you His? When did you become His? How did you become His? So you are His. Okay. Do you realize you're in the family business now? You're His steward. Are you loyal? Are you faithful? Is your clearance intact? Our Heavenly Father, we love You. And besides all the things I've just mentioned, God, there are health issues and relational burdens on the hearts of many of our people. Father, they need to make decisions about whether to take this job or that, or whether to move to this neighborhood or that, or to stay in this career or move to another. Father, so many of our decisions are life-altering, and Father, every one of us needs Your grace right now to know Your will for our lives. And I ask, Father, as we pray about the topic of stewardship, Father, help us hear Your voice. Speak to us about these decisions we all need to make that are coming for each of us. And Father, that we might make them in such a way that You're glorified and that Your kingdom is expanded and that the people around us see that You're actively working in our life, because we're not a nobody. We belong to You. Father, we love You. You are so good. We praise Your name. You are so good to us. You have provided us everything we need, from life and health, fitness to daily provision and protection. Beyond that, Father, we praise You because You've given us purpose. You've given us something beyond ourselves to be a part of, and we praise You. And Father, whatever the burden is on the hearts of people today, You would speak to them, please. And comfort them, Holy Spirit, as Jesus promised You'd do. And we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play, the altar is open. There's no magic in this carpet. It's about what's going on in your heart. Won't you come? Won't you come? If you need someone to pray with you, I'm here. If you need someone to talk to, I'm here. But won't you come and do business with the Lord?
Here's my heart. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true, 'cause I am found, I am Yours, I am loved, I'm made pure, I have life, I can breathe, I am healed, I am free. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my
your kids aren't worth praying for, who's going to pray for them? Maybe you need to lift your kids up today in prayer and just say, God bless them. Speak to them, God. Let them be saved. If you're not praying for your marriage, who's going to? You can't live off my blessings. You can't live off my prayers. Our Father and our God, we love you, and you are so good to us, and we don't deserve it. But Father, you find reasons to work in our life. You find ways, God, to utilize us for your glory, and I ask that you would continue to do so. And Father, for those who've yet to trust Christ, people we know, people we work with, people in our life, God, give us the courage when they ask us why we have this peace, why we have this joy, why we have it, God, that we can tell them it's you. You gave it to us. Every good gift cometh from thee, O God. It adds no sorrow to our life. Thank you, Father, for these promises. We claim them and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way.